Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I guess I chose the wrong song for tonight. Anyways, welcome to Lana's Talk. Tonight we're going to be talking about some very serious things. Human trafficking, children trafficking, child predators, things that do not get talked about. Human trafficking is a crime that forcibly exploits women, men, and children. According to the United Nations, human trafficking affects every country in the world, but it's not talked about enough, so we're talking about it. So we are going to learn tonight about the ages of children that are trafficked. We are going to learn tonight about the three most common types of trafficking, things that we can look for as drivers, as parents, to keep our children safe. Share this video out. This is a very going to be a very touching, explicit show, so please keep that in mind when you are sharing the video. So trafficking involves transporting someone into a situation of exploitation. This can include forced labor, marriage, prostitution, and organ removal. This kind of exploitation is known by a few different names: human trafficking, trafficking of persons. A modern slavery are the ones accepted by U.S. Department of State. It is estimated that internationally there are between 20 million and 40 million people in modern slavery today. Boy, my tongue is getting tied up right now. Sorry about that. Oh. Assessing the full scope of human trafficking, it is difficult because cases are so often go undetected. Something the United Nations referred to as the hidden figure of crime, because it doesn't get reported. And it doesn't get reported for many, many reasons. And we will go deeper into that here in just a minute. Estimates suggest that internationally, only about 4% survivors of human trafficking cases are identified, meaning that the vast majority of cases of human trafficking go hidden and undetected. I don't know what's going on with my phone, but so... human trafficking earns global profits of roughly $150 billion a year for traffickers, $99 billion of which comes from commercial sexual exploitation. The global of estimated 71% of enslaved people are women and children, while men and boys account for 29%. 29%. Hi, Jason. How are you tonight? Share this video out. It's going to be a very, it's very gut-wrenching to me to have to talk about this, but we need to talk about it. We, especially as the trucking industry and being drivers, need to be aware of this stuff, because you possibly could stop a child from being exploited. You could possibly stop a woman from being exploited. Being sold for sex, you know, being sold for slavery, being sold for marriage. So it is important that we start addressing this as a nation, because it is not talked about and we need to talk about it. We need to address it. So, you know, estimated suggests that about 50,000 people are trafficked into the U.S. each year, and most often from Mexico and the Philippines. In 2018, over 51.6% of the criminal human trafficking cases active in the U.S. were sex trafficking. trafficking cases involving only children. Only children. That could be your granddaughter, your grandson, your niece, your nephew, your daughter, your son. 51.6%. Reports indicate that a larger number of children of child sex trafficking survivors in the U.S. were at one time in the foster care system. Foster care system. The people that are supposed to be protecting the children, they get removed from a bad situation and placed into a different, supposed to be a better, safer situation. No. No. I don't know if you guys know anything about foster homes, but I'm going to tell you from firsthand experience, from being in a foster home, most of them are not nice places for children to be. They're enslaved. They are brought in for slavery and for the foster parents to collect a check. That's it. That's it. So how these people get their foster license is beyond me. Advocates report a growing trend of traffickers using online social media platforms to recruit and advertise targets of human trafficking. If you have a child, if they're not old enough to be an adult and be out on their own, you as a parent have the right to invade their privacy. So if they're on social media, it is okay to do a well-being check on them once a week. Hey, how you doing? Can I see your phone? Can I see your computer? So that you know who they're communicating with. You're doing it for their protection. Their protection. There is a lot of social media trafficking that happens because a child just wants to be loved, just wants to be accepted. And so whenever they're in a home and it's not a good situation and somehow these predators are able to seek these children out and they start corresponding with them and making them feel loved, making them feel wanted, making them feel beautiful, and then it starts. And by the time you as a parent realize what's going on, it's too late. Your baby's gone. Gone. Something for you to think about. Also, I want you guys to know this. The average age at a teen enters the sex trade in the U.S. is 12 to 14 years old. Many victims are runaway girls who are sexually abused as children. In 2018, the National Human Traffic Hotline received more calls from California than any other state in the U.S., followed by Texas, Florida, respectively. 27% of human trafficking, two out of every three are girls. Texas, Florida, California are the most prevalent. There are three types of human trafficking. We have a sex trade, we have a forced labor, and we have domestic servitude. The three most common types of sex trafficking is forced labor and debt bondage. Forced labor is also known as involuntary servitude. It is the biggest sector of trafficking in the world, according to the U.S. Department of State. Hey, Anna. So, you guys, you know, I got to take this down off my screen. Give me just a second here. So, how do human traffickers abduct their victims? Well, they recruit them. Sex traffickers approach potential victims in a variety of ways, including pretending to be a potential boyfriend or a friend, contacting them via social media such as Facebook, posting newspapers or internet ads on jobs and opportunities. Oh, a modeling job. The modeling job is a big one. A big one for you guys to watch out for. And even threatening them to kidnap them. 90% of those who are sexually abused children in the U.S. know their victims. They could be family, friends, babysitters, neighbors, peers, or family members. Only 10% of the people who recruit are complete strangers. Guys, keep that in mind. This is really, really important. You know, what are the dangers of child trafficking? You know, of those, it says that 1 in 4 are under the age of 18. The estimated number of children trafficked around the world is 5.5 million. They suffer violence, exploitation, and abuse, ending up in work, forced marriage, prostitution, begging, and armed recruitment. Imagine if that's your child, if that's your niece or your nephew, you know, or your friend's child. So here are some signs for you to look out for. You know, being a truck driver, we see lots of stuff out on the road. Truck stops are a famous area for underage girls to be working to earn money. And, you know, down here where I live in Southwest Missouri, Joplin, Missouri is a huge area for this kind of stuff to be going on. But, you know, if you see a child that appears malnourished, showing signs of physical injury and abuse, avoiding eye contact, social interaction, and an authority figure or law enforcement, seeming to adhere to script or rehearsed response in a social interaction, lacking official identification documents, appearing dissolute, lacking personal possessions, working excessively long hours, living at a place of employment, checking into hotels, motels with an older male and referring to those males as the boyfriend or daddy, which is often the street slang for pimp. Poor physical or dental health, tattoos, branding of the neck or the lower back, untreated sexually transmitted diseases. Smaller children serve in family restaurants. Security measures that appear to keep people inside an establishment. Barbed wire instead of fences, bars crossing the windows inside, not allowing people to go into public alone or speak for themselves. There is so much misinformation about what trafficking is, who is affected, and what it means to be a child trafficked. You know, the myth, traffickers target victims they don't know. Absolutely false. A majority of the time, the victims are trafficked by someone they know, such as a friend, a family member, or a romantic partner. Here's another myth. Only girls and women are victims of human trafficking. Not true. Not true. Boys and men are just as likely to be victims of human trafficking as girls and women. However, they are less likely to be identified and reported. That's sick. That is sick. Girls and boys are often subject to different types of trafficking. For instance, girls may be trafficked for forced marriage and sexual exploitation, while boys may be trafficked for forced labor or recruitment into the armed groups. Armed groups where, you know, they're creating a militia. They're teaching little boys how to kill. To kill is what they're doing. Myth. All human trafficking involves sex or prostitution. Not true. Human trafficking can include forced labor, domestic servitude, organ trafficking, this is where the babies come in. When babies are stolen, this is what happens. Their organs are taken and they are sold, and small children. And you know who they're sold to? The rich. Epstein, Clinton. Those are just a couple of names I'm going to throw out there. You know, you've got debt bondage, recruitment for children as child soldiers, and or sex trafficking and forced prostitution. Here's another myth. Trafficking involves traveling, transporting, or moving a person across borders. Not true. Human trafficking is not the same thing as smuggling, which are two terms. They are commonly confused. Trafficking does not require movement across the border. In fact, in some cases, a child could be trafficked and exploited within their own home. In the U.S., trafficking most frequently occurs in hotels, motels, truck stops, and online. There you guys got it. Truck stops and online. Here's another myth. People believe trafficked are physically unable to leave or held against their will. Trafficking can involve force, but people can also be trafficked through threats, coercion, or deception. People in trafficking situations can be controlled through drug addiction, violent relationships, manipulation, lack of financial independence, or an isolation from a family or friends, in addition to physical restraint or harm. Here's another myth. Trafficking primarily occurs in developed countries. Not true. Trafficking occurs all over the world. The most common forms of trafficking can differ by country. The United States is one of the most active sex trafficking countries in the world, where exploitation or trafficking victims occurs in cities, suburbans, and rural areas. Labor trafficking occurs in the U.S., but at a lower rate than most developed countries. You know, the human traffic statistics by the state of 2020 says that human trafficking can happen to people of all ages and gender, of any race, religion, or background. Victims frequently do not seek help due to language barriers, fear of their traffickers, or fear of law enforcement. Because human trafficking is considered to be a hidden crime, several key indicators can help people recognize potential endangerment and notify law enforcement. A common misconception about human trafficking is that it does not happen in the United States. That is false. The United States is ranked as one of the worst countries in the world for human trafficking. It is estimated that 199,000 incidents occur within the United States every year. Almost 200,000 incidents in... Guys, hold on just a second. I'm so sorry. Sorry about that. My dogs want to rein in on what... on human trafficking. Maybe they're going to kill one. You know, there is a national hotline that I will give the information out about at the end of this segment so that you guys can share that out. So they're 24/7. I'm sorry, this is, you know, a really heart-wrenching subject to me because, Anna, you're right. All children need protected. It is our job to protect the children. We have to protect the ones that cannot protect themselves. They look to you to protect them, to keep them safe. And, you know, yes, many of these kids are looking for acceptance, you're right, and love, and they do lack that in their home. And probably more so now with all of the job loss and the rioting going on, and, you know, because the parents are so stressed out of how they're going to take care of these children. So these children, keeping tabs on them and doing well-being checks on them is the last thing that's on their mind right now. Last thing on their mind. You know, Washington, D.C. has the highest human trafficking rate in the United States. Of 11.66 victims per 100,000 people, in 2009, there were 34 human trafficking cases reported in D.C., 18 of which was sex trafficking, 7 of which was labor trafficking, 7 were unspecified, and 3 were sex and labor trafficking. Nevada has the second highest human trafficking rate. You know, California has the fifth highest. Nebraska has the fourth, Michigan has the sixth, Georgia has the 7th, Hawaii has the 8th, New Mexico has the 9th. With a human trafficking rate of 3.26 victims per 100,000 people, Kansas has the 10th highest rate in the country. You know, cities and countries along the I-70 corridor in Kansas experienced a higher than average amount of trafficking in 2019. There are 6 ways that parents can protect their children from sex trafficking. Set a higher standard of love within your home. Love your children unconditionally. Let them be a part of your family and not a nuisance. That old saying that children are to be heard and not, or to be seen and not heard, needs to stop. Because the world isn't the way that it used to be. It's not safe out there for our children. It's happening in schools. It's happening in churches. It's happening everywhere. The whole world. You know, talk to your children about sexual abuse. When you're talking to your children about sexual abuse, use the correct anatomy. There is nothing vulgar about telling your daughter she has a vagina. There's nothing vulgar about telling your son he has a penis. That way, when you're having this conversation with your children, they will be able to specifically say to you, they touched my vagina, they touched my penis, they touched my breast, instead of trying to figure out what the hell a cookie is or a butterfly. You know, that kind of stuff makes cases unprosecutable because the children are not specifically stating where they were touched and what was done. They're using slang words. They're using slang words. Oh, well, he ate my cookie. Well, you and I both know what that means when you see the behavior along with those statements. But how long before a teacher figures out what that child is speaking about? Had that child have said, I'm upset today because my uncle ate my vagina. I told you guys this was going to be a little, it's not vulgar, it's just reality. So please, no offense to anybody that's watching. Talk to your children about sex trafficking. Talk to your children about the danger of social media, of Facebook, of Twitter, of what's the other ones? You've got Twitter, Facebook, I don't know, Instagram. Talk to them about the dangers of social media. Pay attention to your children. Pay attention. You brought them here for a reason. And that's to love them and take care of them and pay attention to them. Invite your kids to pray for those enslaved. A little bit of God never hurt anybody. Here are a couple of other rules that you can abide by. Give permission to your child to say no and tell. Help your children identify trusted adults. Set body boundaries. Teach your child the correct name of their body parts. Teach children to check with others first. Teach your children telephone skills. Babies are given telephones now, you know, at 5 or 6 months old. They know how to work a cell phone. So let's teach them how to use that cell phone. Review and practice these things often. Insist a child assault prevention program is in your school. You know, $32 billion a year, global industry of one of the most profitable criminal acts is trafficking. It's number one. Number two is drug trafficking, and the last is currency counterfeiting. Drugs are human trafficking is the number one, guys, crime there is in the world globally. You know, as parents, we are bound to be concerned about our child's safety, whether at home or outside. Children should be under adult supervision always and never alone. However, at times it may not be possible, and hence, it is imperative that we educate our children about basic safety rules that they need to follow always in order to be safe, especially at school. We live in a society where there are more nuclear families than joint families, and both parents might have to step out to work. The children are without you in school or at daycare, as well as at home with a nanny. It becomes more critical for them to be educated about safety rules so that they are prepared to handle any emergency situation if needed arises. If you are thinking about how to go about it, then read on it. Find out how you can ensure that your child is safe always by teaching these very basic safety rules. Okay, the golden number one rule is your child should learn their full name, contact number, and address. It would be better if she knows these details about both parents. I've got a caller. Let's get a caller on here. Welcome to Lana's Talk.
Hey, Lana. It's Scott Thompson. How are you?
I'm good tonight. How are you, Scott?
Good, good. Got your message about coming to the show. Just wanted to
know if I
could throw a couple things in there for you.
Go right ahead.
Definitely. My name's Scott. I'm from Texas, and I am a child sex trafficking specialist. I used to work with the State Department for 14 years. I specifically worked with child sex trafficking during that time, and a lot of the information that she's given you guys is true, but there's a lot of things that have been happening recently that, you know, the news hasn't been covering and stuff like that, and I'd like to share with your listeners if I can, real quick.
Yes, please share. The more information we have, you know, Scott, the better we're going to be, the more we can help.
Definitely, definitely. You know, with the COVID virus going on and then, you know, the turmoil that's going on with the rioting and lootings and stuff like that, a lot of people have lost their jobs and their ways of living right now. So child sex trafficking has been a really big business, especially here in the U.S., recently. It has grown. I think the actual number from the from National Center of Missing and Exploited Children said that there's been a 350% increase ever since this virus came into the U.S. and, you know, everybody started losing their jobs. And people have to realize that the United States is the largest consumer of these also, of these children also. And, you know, me being a white man, white male, a middle-aged white male is the highest number of customers in this type of thing. Now, sex trafficking doesn't just have to be physical. It could be visuals. It could be a video. If you're caught doing video with a minor and stuff like that, that's sex trafficking. There's so many different things and so many different behaviors going on that a lot of the people that are needing to replace their income because they lost their jobs or whatever are actually, as disgusting as it sounds, I guess you would say pimping out their kids in one way or another. So one of the big things that a lot of people could be doing right now, and I want to encourage your listeners now, and it may sound intrusive, okay, is pay attention to your kids' social media accounts, okay?
100%.
Pay attention to your social media. Ma'am?
100%.
Definitely, definitely. There's a difference between being intrusive and being a parent, okay? Being intrusive means that you're going in there with a vindictive mindset to find something to punish the child. To be a parent, you're going in there with the mindset to where, okay, I need to protect my kids and everything like that. Because something that could be as simple as I have a 12-year-old daughter. We'll use her as an example. I'm not going to say her name for privacy concerns. But I have a 12-year-old daughter, and she has her own phone and everything like that. Well, if she has a 13- or 14-year-old boy that says he's local and he wants to meet with her and stuff like that, I'm not going to know about it unless I do that. With me, I still have the contacts where I can find out if that is a 13-year-old boy or not. And people that don't pay attention to their kids' social medias, they could go out and meet that 13-year-old boy. It could be something simple as, hey, I'm going to Sally's house for a little bit. Well, you did not know, because you don't pay attention to your kid's social media accounts, that Sally's been out of town for a couple months, you know, at her grandma's in Illinois or something like that. She's going to meet this person. And, you know, if you don't take a parent's role into this, it's not going to slow down. It could all start at home. It could all start with education. I don't know if you went, I came onto the call a little bit later. I don't know if you talked a little bit about the Operation Underground Railroad organization. Have you talked about that yet?
I have not. No, I haven't. You can, though.
Definitely. There's a Please. Great organization. It's a nonprofit organization, and it's an organization that the government really can't do anything about sex trafficking. They can't, because it's too numerous, and there's not enough hands and type of people to do it. So people like myself go out and do the investigations and train the police officers in different cities and stuff like that, and train the community. And Operation Underground Railroad, I could ask the host to go ahead and put it on her Facebook page. This is a great resource for you to go there and get free training, guys, free training on what to look for. One of the things that wasn't covered is a lot of these kids that are being trafficked. Anybody know what to look for as far as a pimp? And a pimp and a trafficker are pretty much all the same thing. You know, they're jealous,
right,
controlling, and violent. They promise that things are too good to be true. They encourage their kids or the people to engage in illegal activities, buy expensive gifts, vague about their profession, pushy or demanding about sex, encourages inappropriate sexual behavior, and it makes the victim feel responsible for his or her stability. That's what I was just talking about, how some of the parents are, okay? Makes the victim feel responsible for his or her financial stability, very open about financial matters. You know, Becky, I know you're 13, but I want you to, you know, spend time with blah, 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 you know, because he could loan me. You know, it's disgusting, and it's happening every day. Operation Underground Railroad is a free resource. You could go there, look it up online. You could get training on what to look for, warning signs on your kids. Warning signs on kids that you see, you know, at church or out and about. Warning signs on what to look for as far as traffickers. Okay, we have to stop the traffickers, and it's a great resource, and it's a great thing. Since the government doesn't have the resources to do it, Underground Railroad does. Tim Ballard, great guy. He worked at the State Department in the Sex Trafficking Division, the same division that I used to work at, and he has taken it upon himself to create Operation Underground Railroad, to be the voice for the victims and actually do what the governments cannot do realistically. Okay? It's a great resource. Go there, attend their free sex trafficking training. I think it takes like about a whole 10, 15 minutes. You can get a little certificate and everything like that. And then just start educating people. Educating parents and educating kids on what to look for is going to squash this. It's going to stop it, because we're smarter, the kids are smarter, and everybody's getting the same type of information also. Were you going to say something?
No, I'm just listening. I'm listening to you.
Definitely. Definitely. And if you have anybody that you are concerned about that may be sex trafficking or having the signs, and this is covered in the training, the National Human Trafficking Hotline number is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That number is 888-373-7888. That's 888-373-7888. That's the National Human Trafficking Hotline. No matter how little. Or?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, if you have something you want to throw in. No matter how little the cues are, or if you just think, oh, maybe I'm just being overzealous, call them. Plus, we have the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. That's 800-843-5678. Guys, again, see something, say something. That's what we have to do. We have to get into that mindset to where we see something, say something. It's a new form of terrorism, guys. It really is, if you really think about it. And they say, for terrorism, see something, say something. It's a new form of terrorism.
No,
it's breaking apart families. It's killing kids' dreams and hopes for the future. And the better we educate people and the more people we educate, the better this world could be. And we're the only ones that could stop this, guys. No federal agency could stop it. We could stop it by educating other people on what to look for and see something, say something. Okay? I know I kind of went on a little bit there. I just wanted to go ahead and share some stuff.
No, you're okay. Please share all the information you have. I was also going to add that, you know, you can also text 233-733 as well. You can text to that number if you see something, say something. So that's 233-733. I was just kind of going over, you know, safety rules that your children should learn, you know, and I was actually on step one, you know, knowing your name and number and address. Hey, Susie, how are you doing tonight? And then, so I was just going to go over the 10 rules, and then I was just going to go over some more statistics and do an answer and question segment. So if you want to hang out, just in case that my viewers might have a question for you, they can call in and you can answer it for them. Do you mind?
I'm here. Sounds good. I'll go ahead and mute myself out.
Okay. Okay, great. So if you guys have a question for Scott, I have him on the phone. Call in 516-387-1733. He will be more than happy to answer anything that you guys have to ask. You know, I've already told you at the beginning of this show, this show was going to be a gut-wrenching show because we are talking about children being trafficked, you know, and it just makes me sick to my stomach to know that that one time that my daughter got upset with me and decided to go out on the street and spend the night with her friend or just leave, that could have been it for me because that night she was looking for somebody to console her, to make her feel better about herself, to be the person that says, oh, your mom is wrong. Oh, your mom shouldn't have done that to you, to be on her side. That could have been the one time that my daughter became a victim. So know that. It is important for you, even when you and your children get into a fight or a disagreement, not to let them walk out that door first off. Find a place to cool down. Come back at a level head. Have an adult community of conversation with them. If they're small children, don't let them play out in the front yard or backyard or at the park by themselves. Make sure that you are watching them at all times because it just takes a split second. One turnaround for you to turn around at the park and be having a verbal conversation with, you know, Susie or Jill over here while your child's sitting over here in the sandbox. That's all it takes. And as I had said earlier, that since the COVID has hit, this is worse now than it ever has been. So, number one rule, teach your children your name, number, and address. You know, even if your kid is small, try and teach him or her the basic details so that it can be shared in case of an emergency. It would be an advantage if they knew the nearest landmark to their home or the route. So, you know, you can teach them if there's something across the street from your house, something that they can remember. You know, oh, this is across the street from my house. However, you know, you can also keep a tag with all of the details in your child's pocket or bag. Teach your children not to share these details with everyone, but only share them in case of an emergency. Talking to strangers is a big no-no, stranger danger. So teach your children never to ever talk to anyone whom they do not know. Not all strangers are bad or will harm your child. But why take that chance? Why take that chance? There are so many cases of kidnapping that are increasing by the day. Kids are lured by strangers by either a chocolate or a toy or anything tempting. Make it very clear to them that they are not allowed to talk or even take anything to eat from people that they do not know. You know, or even people that they do know, because we do know that most, you know, most 90% of the children who are sexually abused are abused by people that we know, babysitters, family, friends, neighbors, peers. About only 10% of them are completed by strangers. So, you know, make sure that you're okay with them taking a toy or a piece of candy from somebody that you might even know. I'm sorry, guys. They should also be taught never to go anywhere with such people and raise an alarm like shouting or screaming loudly to someone if someone approaches them. However, they should not scream at anyone and everyone and learn to refuse politely if the person is not a complete stranger, like maybe a friend's relative of whom your child doesn't know. Make it your child's habit so that they see, so that she or he would be safe when you are not around to monitor. Okay? We all know that we have programs called the Latchkey Children, which is children who are going home when both parents, because this world and economic that we're in requires two parents to work if you're going to make it financially. So, number three, good touch, bad touch. This is where we're going to talk about you need to teach your children proper human anatomy. There is nothing vulgar about teaching your daughter that she has a vagina or breast, or your son has a penis, or that a rectum. They need to know those words. I know a teacher that had a child, and she had started noticing some changes in her behavior, a very good child, and she had started noticing some changes in her behavior. So we're just going to call her Jill for right now. She brought Jill up to the desk, and she said, you know, what's going on with you today? You're acting out. You know, what's happening? And she says, I'm upset. My uncle ate my cookies. And she said, well, Jill, there's no reason for you to be behaving like that because your uncle ate your cookies. Really? Do you think this is appropriate behavior? And gave the teacher child talk. This went on for a week or longer where this child was acting out. Now, keep in mind, this was a good student. No issues, no learning issues, no discipline issues, and then, bam, all of a sudden, she starts having learning issues, discipline issues, you know, showing signs of depression, crying for no reason at all, and her answer every time to the teacher is, my uncle ate my cookies. Finally, the teacher realized what the child was speaking about. And then all the services was brought in. But because the child did not explicitly say a physical body part, her perpetrator got away. Got away. The laws are so sticky in every dang state. They're not the same in every state. They're not. So let's just remove that equation out of it. So, each and every child should know the difference between a good touch and a bad touch. No one should be allowed to touch your child inappropriately that can make her or him very uncomfortable. Again, since your presence is not possible everywhere, your child should know when to raise an alarm. They need to shout out loud if someone touches them wrongly. Young children are more prone to this kind of abuse, so teach them young. Don't feel shy or embarrassed. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. You're teaching your children something that's going to protect them, that's going to save them, that's going to help you communicate with them better as a parent and have no misunderstanding of what's really going on, or a teacher, or a counselor, or even a stranger. You know, talk to your children about difference between good and bad touch. There are a lot of videos available on YouTube that you can show them that they understand the difference and know what to do if they experience this. Never climb a wall or a fence. Kids are adventurous and curious. Boy, they are. I'm telling you. Special care must be taken when they are out playing in the school or at the park, and also when they are at home with the nanny. Tell them clearly that they are not supposed to climb on any wall or high area to fetch anything. Anything, guys. They can call for help if required. Also, when they're at home, they should not go to the terrace or stand in the balcony alone. Advise the nanny to keep the doors to the balcony terrace locked at all times. All times. Rule number 5, playing with fire and sharp objects are not allowed. What? Okay. We can discuss that, but I don't know why this is even on here. Okay. So, you know, those are just some rules, you know, some guidelines that you can possibly live, you know, try to implement in your home. It's a very uncomfortable conversation for you to be having with your children. It's not uncomfortable with me because I'm an open parent about everything and anything, and I have a no-secret rule. There are no secrets in my house. If there are secrets, then it probably should not be going on. So if somebody is telling your child it's a secret, then your child needs to understand. If they're telling you that it's a secret, then you must tell me. I need to know. You're not going to get in trouble. Children are so afraid of getting in trouble because all of a sudden the perpetrators make them feel like they've done something wrong. Your mommy and daddy aren't going to love you anymore. Your mommy and daddy aren't going to want you anymore. And so they feel like they're going to get in trouble if they tell. So the victimizing just keeps happening. And it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. And, you know, and here's another sad thing. Most children that are preyed upon sexually become perpetrators when they become teenagers and adults. There's some form of sexual abuse in their life that has caused them to do this. You know, you can send them to counseling, and as parents, you're going to be blamed. You're going to be responsible because it's our job to protect our children and keep them safe from harm's way. See something, say something. If you see something going on in public that just doesn't look right, don't be afraid to make that call. Don't. You possibly could save a child. You know, a lot of people think that, and we all could have different opinions on that, and that's okay. I'm not trying to bring politics into this. I'm not a politic person or a political person. President Trump separated families, and the reason that he separated families, from my understanding, is so that DNA tests could be done on those children to make sure that they belonged to the mother and father that was saying that they were the children to because of the sex trafficking. So we do have the lines open if you guys want to call in. We have Scott on the phone. He is with Operation Underground Railroad. They are a huge advocate about trafficking, and you guys call in to 516-387-1733. Push 1 to join in, and Scott's on the line if you guys want to ask him any questions. You know, go to the Operations Underground Railroad and take the free resource. Take the course. Take the course. Educate yourself. We are truck drivers. We see that in truck stops, we all know that this happens. It's our job to protect them. You know, it's our job. We're the adults. And if we don't protect them, nobody else is going to protect them. So, you guys go ahead and call on in, ask Scott some questions.
I could add a couple to what we were just talking about.
Yeah, go right ahead, Scott. Come on.
Definitely, definitely. One of the things that, you know, again, the controversial thing about you were talking about how Trump separated a lot of the people because of the trafficking and stuff like that. One of the things that the U.S. Department of Immigration put out was that one in three of the family units that actually crossed the border was actually not a family member. Okay.
Really?
That's not saying that it's used for sex trafficking or anything like that, but one in three, okay? Now, whether it be an uncle that, you know, kidnapped, you know, their niece or nephew so that way they can make it across. And the thing about the U.S. policies on crossing the border is that if they come across as a family member, they could only be held for 14 days, and that's not enough to get DNA results. So What was happening was is that there were family members taking kids from families across the border and then bringing them across and then waiting for that 14 days and being released, and then the kids will find their way back over to the border, across the border again, and then just do it for the family members again. Now, that's a form of trafficking also. Not necessarily sex trafficking, but that's a form of trafficking also. But that's something that needed to be done because there are a lot of families, you know, in Mexico that were selling their kids to do that. Hey, you know, I see you're going across the border. You know, you're a military age male. I don't think they're going to let you go. But here, take my child, you know, and then, you know, pay me this and this. And that was happening all the time. Anybody could cross the border to Tijuana. Or did it?
50,000 people. 50,000 people last year from Mexico and the Philippines were trafficked into the U.S.
It's sad, and it's profitable. That's why they keep doing it. That's what I wanted to say about your comments about crossing the border. Number two, the whole kids secret thing. One of the kids that I talked to during one of my investigations, she was 5 years old. And she had a secret that she had to keep from me also. You got to listen to their wordage. And I'm going to share with you guys a little tip here. It's all in the word. She told me that she could not tell me her secret. And I said, that is awesome. You're really good at keeping secrets. High five. I gave her a high five. And I said, you know what? If you write it down, you're not telling it. You're still keeping the secret if you write it down. Here, won't you write it down on this piece of paper? Fold it in half, and then give it to me, and then you didn't tell anybody the secret, did you? And they'll agree with you. That is, it's a trick play, but it's true, too, because what they did is they promised that they would not tell anybody, okay? So that's something really good. One of the things about being out there, you know, if your kids are outside and the stranger walks up and they can't get to the house and stuff like that, there's so many places that you could go to. One of the things I noticed that in Colombia, with one of the cases we had in Colombia, that the kids were somebody would try to abduct them and stuff like that. They'd run to the closest church. Closest church, beating on the doors. Catholic churches, a lot of people don't know, but Catholic churches, people live there. Nuns and priests actually live on site in location. You know, that's a good spot, or go to the grocery store or the gas station or something like that, someplace where there's going to be a lot of people, okay? Because even if they go to a little rundown gas station, there's still going to be about 7 or 8 people there, and at least one of them is going to pay attention. And at least one of them are going to, you know, say, hey, come inside the gas station, tell the clerk to call 911, and then, you know, they shouldn't be afraid to do all that stuff. But, yeah, make as much noise as you possibly can. Teach your kids how to make as much noise as they possibly can. If there's a situation, or if they feel uncomfortable. If they're walking to school, you know, school's like 2 blocks away and they think somebody's following them, tell them not to be afraid to walk up to a house and knock on the door. Or if it's a couple blocks away, you know, you could scream loud enough to where a crossing guard should be able to hear you if they're on their way to school. So, I mean, there's so many things that you guys could teach your kids as far as prevention. You know, make as much noise as you can. I just mentioned about the whole writing it down thing. But, I mean, it's a simple thing that we could stop. We could stop sex trafficking altogether with one simple thing, and that's education. And there's so much free education online. Operation Underground Railroad is just one of them. There's 2 or 3, I think A21, that's A as an apple, and the numeric number is 21. A21 is another human trafficking education program. Do more of the education. We're Operation Underground Railroad. We actually do the raids. We actually train the police in the cities that they're doing the raids. We actually take part in undercover operations for the sex trafficking. And again, I mean, when it comes to the raids, the police do the raids, and we stay out of it. But we've taught them what to look for. Supplying dogs, to train dogs to some police agencies that can sniff out electronic devices. You can find out about all this stuff on the Operation Underground Railroad website. So, it's a lot of great information.
Yeah, and
but A21 is
it abbreviated as ours, Operation Underground Railroad on Facebook, right?
Yeah, if you type in Operation Underground Railroad, it'll pop it up. If you pop up ours, o.u.r.s, it's a really good thing. If you guys haven't had a chance, Amazon Prime, look up Operation Toussaint. That is the story about how Operation Underground Railroad was started. You'll actually see some of the rescues that we did in that documentary. It's a really good one. It's free on Amazon Prime. If you have Amazon Prime Video, you can watch it for free. It is a great video to watch with your kids to educate them and let them see, you know, in a family-friendly type of environment of that there are bad people out there. I mean, it's not going to scare the kid. It's going to make the kids want to learn more about how they could help in that case. But that documentary is out. Operation Underground Railroad just finished up a documentary just recently, last month. I think that'll probably be coming out to Amazon Prime probably after the first of the year. But it's amazing. So many amazing free resources out there to educate you and your kids and be a family-friendly type of thing. So education, that's it. We could stop and cure all this. We could go out there and arrest all the sex traffickers all we want. But in 10, 20 years, they're going to get out anyways. And the sex trafficking is a learned behavior. And they're just going to keep doing it when they come back out. But education, education, education. That's why organizations like Operation Underground Railroad and A21 offer free educational resources.
You know, and it's free education. And the best part about it is that you'll be actually learning something to where you possibly will save a child's life, maybe your own child's life. And whatever if your child is, I'm going to say, you know, 8 years old or older, whatever you teach them, they're going to teach their friends. So the probabilities of your child teaching their friend how to be safe because of something that you did in the home, it starts in the home. Everything about your child starts in the home. So it is your responsibility as a parent to see those children, hear those children, pay attention to those children, even through these stressful times of what I said earlier about being unemployed and being at home, because you not only have the financial strain of being at home and not having any money, but then you also have the emotional strain of being around your children 24/7. And let's face it, I love my kids more than life themselves, but every parent needs a break. We need a break for our sanity. So with being at home 24/7 with our children causes a lot of stress. And so when your child says, hey, I'm going to go to whatever, you don't even hear where they're going because you're just pleased that you're going to have a break from them. Guys, stop. These are your kids. They're not replaceable. They're not like animals. Animals aren't replaceable to a certain extent, but, you know, these are your children. And if they are recovered after they've been in any type of trafficking incident, the afterlife that they are possibly going to have is not going to be a good quality life. Would you agree, Scott?
Yeah, we have, with Operation Underground Railroad, we have an aftercare system. Once the raid, we'll take a situation of a raid where we actually recover some of the kids. Once the raid is done, the kids are actually taken by an aftercare specialist to the closest medical facility. The closest medical facility to run, you know, checks on them to make sure they're okay and everything like that. And then we put them in a halfway situation to where, I don't want to say halfway house because that sounds so druggy type of thing, but they're actually put into a home to where they're going over counseling services and, you know, certain education services, find out what their education is, find out counseling, find out what kind of trauma they went through. And then while the halfway house is doing all that, the investigators are trying to find out where the families are, where their parents are, where their aunts and uncles are, trying to find out if there's any familial family placements that could actually happen, if it can happen at all. And then, you know, be able to talk to the families and then get the families into a group setting and stuff like that. you're never going to heal from the scars, etc. I mean, that's never going to happen. That could actually go up there with weight. I mean, that's not something you're just going to forget about years from now and then have the effects from. But, you know, just supplying the kids with the tools, supplying the kids with what they need to know and stuff like that is how they're going to cope with it. Coping mechanisms are really, really big because a lot of them will go to drugs, alcohol, and everything like that, and maybe even repeat the process, you know, as a coping mechanism. One of the things you were talking about the kids and stuff like that, one thing that Operation Underground Railroad has is that if you don't have money to donate or anything like that, or once you learn and you're educated, you can become an advocate. You could actually teach people, like at your church. You could have like a seminar at your church. You could actually, we have high school kids that have our Operation Underground Railroad groups in their high school to where they actually have a group, a club type of thing, to where the kids get together and their whole mission is to go out there and, you know, raise money and awareness and stuff like that and bringing in other high schoolers and stuff like that that grow up to be, you know, advocates and everything like that. Again, awareness, 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 education, education, education. I cannot say that enough. You don't have to donate money to Operation Underground Railroad. It's beneficial, but education is all $10 wants. Tim Ballard would be so happy, the founder of Operation Underground Railroad, the guy who created it, with awareness and teaching and teaching. We have people that, you know, talk to churches with 300-400 people, you know, and train them on what to look for and print out their certificates on trafficking. We have events. We have walks. We have people that set up tents at events and sell T-shirts and, oh, well, what's Operation Underground Railroad? And oh, here it is, you know, and then they'll talk about it, and then they'll talk about the Operation Toussaint documentary on Prime and stuff like that. I mean, there's so many different ways that you could actually get involved in creating awareness that don't cost a dime out of your pocket, which is, you know, really the mission of it. Education.
Scott, where is Operation Underground at? I mean, how many organizations do you have that is in collusion with Operation Underground?
There are tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, advocates around the world. It's not just here in the U.S. There's tens of thousands. Tim Ballard, he lives in Utah. I think the actual corporate headquarters is in San Diego. But we go all over the world. They just did Colombia the other day. You guys might have saw a teaser of the raid on the Operation Underground Railroad Facebook page. That we just did 3 or 4 days ago. So, I mean, it's all around the world. There is no one place. Operation Underground Railroad is a movement. It's not a singular place. It's one gentleman that had a vision that was saving kids because nobody else has saved kids, and he wants to duplicate that around the world. So, again, Tim Ballard, the founder, he lives in Utah. He goes back and forth from Utah and San Diego. But I think the actual corporate headquarters, if you want to call it that, it's a nonprofit, is in San Diego. But it's all over the world. There may be hundreds of advocates and people in your area that you could team up with and help educate the youth and educate the community, with, educate the police department. You could actually have a seminar for the police department. Contact the city attorney.
Yeah, if I wanted to get involved with Operation Underground, I am in Southwest Missouri, so like around Joplin, Springfield area. If I wanted to get involved in this organization, how would I go about getting involved in this organization?
You would go to the Operation Underground Railroad website, and there'll be a link on top. I believe it says become an abolitionist. What is an abolitionist? An abolitionist is a person that wants to educate people to stop slavery. Baddest abolitionist ever in the whole world was Abraham Lincoln. I mean, he started a war just to, you know, for abolition, you know, to free the slaves and everything like that. So go there, yeah. Find out about how to become an abolitionist. There's a course there, and there'll be a button there that says become a volunteer. Just click on becoming a volunteer. When you click on a volunteer and you fill out a little form and stuff like that saying what you want to be part of and stuff, you'll actually get access to community events. Like I said, you might have stuff going on in your community that you just don't know about. You'll line up with a local leader or somebody in that local area, and then just tear it up.
And, you know, since this organization has been founded and you know, since Tim Bauer decided to do what we all need to do, and that's save the children, how many children have you guys recovered?
That's a great question. I think our – that's all public information. It's on the website and it's on the Facebook page. Don't quote me. But I think 2019 was 100-something-odd thousand kids in 2019.
How many?
A little bit over 100,000, I believe. And that's
all really?
Around here. That's not just here.
Wow.
That's not
here.
Yeah.
That's,
don't quote
you know,
me on that, though.
I'm not.
And
do you know when – do you know out of the recovery of the children that you guys have recovered – what is the majority of the sex and the nationality?
Most of them are Hispanic. Most of them are some of the. I think if we had to separate it out, I would say Hispanic, African American, and then white. I think that would be the general consensus about Hispanics is more because there's a big problem down in Ecuador right now. Ecuador, they actually have shops to where you can go and shop for kids through a catalog, as disgusting as it sounds in Ecuador. Ecuador and Colombia are hot spots. They're actually what we call red zones. Colombia seems to be having an uprising going on right at this moment within the last couple hours on their government. The people are taken to the streets right now because the government's not doing anything to, you know, help them and stuff like that. That has nothing to do with sex trafficking, but I'm pretty sure that, you know, the violence and the crime that stems from the sex trafficking there has a lot to do with why people are in the streets right at this moment. I mean, it's going on right now. You can see it on Facebook Live and stuff. But, yeah, Hispanics, blacks, Caucasians, or whites, that's my general confusion. Again, I mean, we don't
right.
put, you know, nationality on the kids. We boy, girl, stuff like that. I think the most disgusting case I've ever seen was a little boy, 4 years old, a four-year-old little boy.
Four.
And he was being trafficked. He was being trafficked back and forth across the California and Mexico border. He was 4 years old. So, and the reason why I think that stuck with me so much is because he died during it happening. So, but that's the youngest I think.
He died?
Yeah, he wound up dying from, I forgot what exactly he did. I don't know if the sodomy had anything to do with it, but yeah, he wound up passing away. That's why that one sticks with me so bad, because why I know his name, I know his age. I mean, it's disgusting. And I've got three kids of my own. My youngest is 7 years old, and you know, when I found out that he passed away, I couldn't believe it. But he passed away on American soil, and you know, government can't do anything
wow.
about it. Yeah, that
no.
was during the Obama years. I don't know if Obama had anything set in place for human trafficking and stuff like that. You
right.
got a funeral and then everybody just totally threw them.
Speaking of Obama, if you want to touch on this, we can. If you don't want to touch on it, how about the Jeffrey Epstein?
What about him?
What is it, Mr. Epstein? How do you feel about that situation?
I'm not going to say too much because I'm afraid of the Clintons. I want to live
okay.
a little bit. if I have
okay.
to say anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he was this disgusting man. I think he was a disgusting man. I think the fact that we have his madam now in prison is a good thing. I think the fact that she has access to his black book is a good thing. I think all hell is going to break loose and rain down on that. But, you know, he's the most politicized. There's plenty more Jeffrey Epstein in the U.S. There's several more Jeffrey Epstein. They're just not getting
there
all
is.
The notoriety because they don't have the big clientele that Epstein has. So I think that's something I'm going to stay neutral until, you know, the madam does her
I
thing.
Understand.
I
do understand.
I will tell you that
I,
Something to think about. So, you know, there have been 12 witnesses that know about Epstein, and 10 of them are dead already. So there's only two left alive. So we'll keep it at that.
Okay. So your program, when
numbers aren't on my side tonight.
Okay. When you retrieve the children and you put them through, you know, to the hospital and then into like a safe haven, you know, you're teaching them how to be a survivor and no longer a victim. Correct?
Yeah. That's a team. That's a team that does that. There's a lot of nonprofits that do that, that take the kids and stuff like that while, you know, all the technicalities are being taken care of as far as like finding the families and stuff like that and finding out if we even need to give them back to the families, if the families had anything to do with trafficking and stuff. Yeah, they go through a whole process. They go through therapy and counseling and stuff like that. And if we find the families and they're going to be placed back with the families, counseling is offered to them, support. You know, like if they want to go back to school, we buy them backpacks, you know, buy them their school supplies, and, you know, pretty much try to make life as normal as possible and you know, as normal as you can. And I don't want to say necessarily try to take their mind off of it, but let them be kids. That's the big thing. We just want them to be kids again, you know, and let them know that what they've been through doesn't define who they are. I mean, they're something bigger than
that. Does.
So I don't do a lot of the aftercare stuff, so I don't know too much about it. But, yeah, that's from what I've heard and from what I understand.
Okay. Well, I really appreciate you coming on the show tonight and giving out the awareness. It was the last-minute thing. I really, really, truly appreciate you being on here. And I'm going to give out some more information. So it is Operation Underground, correct? Operation Underground Railroad. So Google Operation Underground Railroad. There's free resources there for you to educate. If you see something, say something. The number for you guys to be able to, or gentlemen and ladies to be able to call in you got that number off the top of your head there, don't you, Scott?
No, I do not.
I got it right here. Sorry, I messed with my papers. You never should mess with your papers. So the number, so you can text 233-733. It is the National Human Trafficking Hotline. Or you can call 1-800-LOST, L-O-S-T, and let me get the rest of that number for you. I should have never messed with my papers, guys. Never turns out well. Here we go. All right. It is going to be to contact Human Trafficking Hotline is 888-373-7888. Or you can text 233-733. Guys, take the time. Go to Operation Underground Railroad. Educate yourself. The more education you have, the better teacher you're going to be. Your children at home, set a standard, a higher standard of love within your home. Be open. Be open about the human anatomy. Teach your children the proper language for their body parts. Teach them that secrets are no good. No good. That's what I have for you tonight. I appreciate you so much, Scott, for coming on here. I truly do. I'm going to probably next week be covering some more about this because it's not talked about. We talk about racism. We talk about riots. We talk about BLM. You know, we talk about that stuff. But we're not talking about anything that's protecting the children.
Being silent is not going to make it go away.
No, and we need to talk about it. We need to bring awareness to it. If you have a child that is on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, pay attention. It's your job as a parent to be intrusive until they're grown. It's okay. You're not being intrusive. You're not invading their privacy. You're doing a well-being check on them because you love them. And you want to make sure that that predator isn't soliciting them over Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or any of the social media apps. So take the time just to be able to do it. They're really not good in mind. You can do, you know, do it funny. I'm doing this because I love you. You know, and because if you see something, you can stop it and save your child. And that's what we're here for, is to raise healthy, beautiful children so that they have a long, beautiful life and prosperous. Well, if they become victims of trafficking, it will no longer be beautiful for them. They have to live with that for the rest of their lives. And no amount of counseling will ever take that away from them. So just know that. You see something, say something. Operation Underground Railroad. Go there, educate yourself. I'm going to sign off. I thank everybody for tuning in. Share this out to everybody, all of your viewers. Let's make this awareness. Let's start talking about it. We're talking about it. Talk about it. Let's do something about it. Good night. I love each and every one of you. Thank you so much. Good night, Scott. Thank you so much.
All right, bye-bye.